The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
It's not really the right introduction, but I thought why not play it on the Morning Mayhem if I possibly can. Rolene, good morning to you. How are you?
I have to say, Howard, it is, you know, as we spoke off air early on, it's a very, very emotional day. And please forgive me if I do start to cry, but it is, Yom HaZikaron is a very heavy, very emotional day for us in Israel, because we are perhaps, and maybe to answer the SMS that Ansan sent in, we are very, very acutely aware in Israel of the great sacrifice that many have made. In fact, 23,645 IDF, IAF, police personnel, security personnel, Shabak, Mossad, and anyone who has served, whether we know their names or not, in keeping Israel protected and defended throughout our history. And for many of us, it's not just about names or pictures we see in the newspaper or on TV. We are reminded every day that these are our mothers and fathers, our brothers and sisters, our lovers and friends, our colleagues, our children, the children of our friends, and even total strangers that we see. We know that they have served. We know that many of them have seen combat situations that are very, very difficult. And it is a particularly difficult day today. Many of us will go to various ceremonies throughout the country. I myself will be going to the cemetery in Modi'in for our annual ceremony. But it's a profoundly sad and yet inspiring day, because it's a day where we all come together, not just to bow our heads, but in absolute gratitude for this country and for the sacrifices that many have made, and also with a very, very acute understanding of the threats that we face on a daily basis. You know, as I said to you last week, I was on the border with Gaza. I went to see the situation for myself and to record some news stories, and I had an opportunity to spend some time with the soldiers on the border. And what many people don't understand is, first of all, they're very, very young. They really are on the front line, facing down a very, very relentless and brutal enemy. And they are professional in their conduct. They have to make decisions that you and I could not possibly understand. And it's very easy for many of Israel's detractors and critics to sit, you know, in different countries, continents away, behind their computers or in their armchairs and play armchair critics without understanding the veracity of the situation on the ground that we face every single day in Israel.
Rolene, is there a sense of anger around that, or is it more just overwhelming sadness and frustration that there's a lack of understanding from around the world?
That is normally the mood every day. You know, we feel frustrated with the world. We roll our eyes at the world. We're pretty angry at the world sometimes that, you know, they are so biased that they don't take the time to understand the Israeli narrative. And having worked in the news, I see that requests come in from various news agencies wanting specific angles to stories, and the angles that they specifically want are anti-Israel, and they won't hear otherwise. So that is something that we are dealing with in the global media. But today, of all days, this is a day for our fallen, for our 23,645, and for our 3,134 victims of terror, because we cannot forget the price that they have paid, that they have been marked and sentenced to death and to attack simply because they are Jewish or Israeli. And today is all about them. And not tomorrow, but the day after next, we will pick up again and where we left off and voraciously defend our country.
I was telling our listeners a little bit earlier this morning, is one of the most powerful Yom HaZikaron experiences that I had was when I went with a couple of fathers and sons who were about to either have their bar mitzvah or have just had their bar mitzvah. We went to Israel. We were there over this period. And we went to a tekes at the Kotel, which of course is moving, but somehow didn't connect in the same way. But a good friend of mine organized that we went to pay a home visit to the Singer family. They had lost their son, Alex Singer, and I don't know if you know his story or not. He's obviously just one of the 23,000. But it was so relevant to us sitting in their living room with these. They had come to live there from America after their son had been killed in Lebanon, in an ambush in Lebanon. And we sat in the living room, and initially we were quite embarrassed by the children because they were talking about what gun did he have and tell us about the fight and the ambush. And as the fathers were sitting there, we were quite discomforted by it because we thought it was insensitive. But they took it in their stride, and they started by explaining all of that and the guns and the soldiering, and then slowly they moved on to the loss. And this kid was this Alex, and as you say, they were children. These are children so often who are on the front lines. He was the most gifted artist, and he had painted some beautiful things. He had written poetry, and they eventually put it together in a book, and they showed the kids the book. And very, very slowly through this experience, they learned, and we as the fathers learned about individual loss in a situation like that, which somehow is quite different to just listening to names, because each name has parents and each name has a family and a brother and a living room that shows signs of that person that has lived there. And to me, that brought it home. I will never forget that. And our children, I can tell you that each and every one of these boys will never forget that experience. And I was saying also a little bit earlier was also that this Alex Singer's brother was one of the authors, the co-authors of Startup Nation. And here you have a situation where you just see the smallness of Israeli society, how we know him, the brother, through his writing, and now we know the parents and the son that was killed. It was unbelievably powerful to look at individual, just one individual story.
Well, I'm going to ask our listeners to do something very special today. You know, every year for Yom HaShoah, we try and remember the names, because unto every person there is a name, and we try and understand their story, how we lost them in the Shoah. I'm going to ask our listeners today to try and find at least one story of a soldier who has fallen, of a victim of terror, and exactly as you said, get to understand the smallness, and also the largesse of the situation, and also just to honor their memories and to honor their sacrifices. We have the incredible stories that we're all familiar with of lone soldier Michael Levine, of Roy Klein, who sacrificed his life to save his unit, of Yoni Netanyahu. Mm-hmm. These are names that perhaps we are all very familiar with and should be, but please today, all of our listeners out there, please try and find out the story of at least one soldier or one victim of terror, so that we can honor them and we can keep their memory alive, and that we can show our gratitude for them making the ultimate sacrifice, so that we, whether we live in Israel or whether we are in the diaspora, have a place to call our home.
Absolutely. I was also thinking, Rolene, about my wife's great aunt, who was shopping in Dizengoff with her daughter for wedding shoes, actually, for her daughter. Her daughter was getting married in Israel. They were there and living in Israel. They were shopping a few days before the wedding for wedding shoes for her daughter. They separated because the daughter ran into one shop. Her mom, who's my wife's great aunt, ran into another shop. A bomb went off, and my wife's great aunt was killed. The wedding obviously was a very different affair, the bride's mother having been murdered shortly earlier by terrorists on Dizengoff. And there are just stories and stories and stories and layers of just tremendous loss.
Well, thank you, Howard. And as you can hear, my voice is starting to break because it is. It's a heavy day for us here. Thank you for honoring their memory. Today you have honored the memory of two who we have lost, who had lives, who had stories, who had loved ones, who had a simchot to look forward to, who had a life to live. And today will be about the heaviness of loss, about the greatness of sacrifice. And tonight the mood of the country will change, and we will be reminded of what we have and the incredible cost of or the incredible sacrifice of the many to ensure that we have what we have.
You know, the other story that I wanted to ask you a little bit further about, you and I spoke about it earlier in the week. We did try to get Leah Golden on the show, and I see that Gimpel the Fool is tweeting about it. We remember and honor Hadar Golden, who heroically died protecting Israel and Jews worldwide. Can you bring us up to date with regard to the story of Hadar Cohen and some of these stories?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Hadar Cohen, because we have two Hadars who we honor this year. We have Hadar Cohen, a young soldier who literally, like Roy Klein before her, paid with her life to save the lives of others. May her memory be blessed. But Hadar Golden, his remains and the remains of Oron Shaul are still in the hands of Hamas, who will not release them back into their family. They were killed during Hafsakat Esh, during a ceasefire, during the last conflagration with Gaza, during Operation Protective Edge. What we do know about Hadar is that he was in one of the tunnels, and that he had gone after Hamas operatives when he was killed. And the family are fighting very, very hard in the international arena and here in Israel domestically to try and get the remains of Hadar released to the family so that he can be buried in sanctity of our religion, of the Jewish religion, and the body of Oron Shaul, may his remains be returned safely, so that these families can have closure, so that they can start the healing process. And I see the tweet coming in from Gimpel the Fool. Thank you, Gimpel, for honoring the life of Hadar Cohen, 19 years old, who sacrificed her life so that others would be saved. And there are so many stories like this, men and women, boys and girls. If we compare the lives of our 18 and 19 year olds here to many around the world, it's unfathomable what young kids of 18 and 19 have to go through and the decisions that they have to make.
Rolien, I want to read a quote from Menachem Begin, because I think he sums it up absolutely magnificently. He says, "I'm not a Jew with trembling knees. I'm a proud Jew with 3,700 years of civilized history. Nobody came to our aid when we were dying in the gas chambers and ovens. Nobody came to our aid when we were striving to create our country. We paid for it. We fought for it. We died for it. We will stand by our principles. We will defend them. And when necessary, we will die for them again." And I think that is an incredibly, incredible summary of what today and what the transition tonight on Yom HaTzmaut actually is. That sums it up, in my view.
It absolutely sums it up. I mean, in literally a matter of seconds, we will have emotional whiplash, and we will go from moments of intense mourning and remembrance to unbelievable celebration, incredible celebration. And I know that in South Africa, you guys will be partying along with us as you know, we light fireworks, that we celebrate, we party in the streets. And of course, tomorrow, the whole of the state of Israel will be blanketed in a cloud of Alaesh smoke and be verstunken of barbecue, as we celebrate as only Israelis can do. And if anyone needs me tomorrow, I'll be on the beach watching the flyover with tremendous pride.
And almost a sense of relief. You know, it's a very, very strange thing. Like, we all know that, unfortunately, those of us that have experienced loss in any area, not only in this area, that when one goes through a process, one goes to funeral, you come home and there is that sense of, even though the loss still remains, there is a sense of relief. And I think that's kind of what the whole country collectively feels. That's the collective consciousness of the day, is that there's this intense mourning and then it's over and people could actually get on with the celebration. You couldn't have that celebration without an acknowledgement of the sacrifice.
And I think that it's quite incredible that when they, you know, the fledgling state set up these holidays, it's quite remarkable of them to have thought of this transition from pain and loss to celebration, because it drives it home. And many are fascinated with our Memorial Day around the world, because many countries will have a Memorial Day or a minute here or there to remember the fallen. But in Israel, we are so immersed in it you're really almost forced to deal with your feelings, to acknowledge them, and to move through them. And what is interesting for many of us, and I was discussing it with a friend this morning who continues to serve in Israel's security forces, is that as the years go on, so we feel more deeply, because this is our daily reality.
Absolutely, absolutely astounding. Rolene Marks, I know that it is a difficult day to chat on radio, but I greatly appreciate you never saying no when I ask you to. But I did feel it was important to get your perspective from Israel, from being immersed in it, as to what this day is about. So I hope the day, I'm not sure if I should say it goes easy, because it needs to be what it needs to be, unfortunately. I hope it is a meaningful day, and that the transition from the Yom HaZikaron to Yom HaTzmaut is wonderful, and that you celebrate the day as you should tomorrow. Thank you for taking the time to speak to us, as you always do. That's Rolene Marks chatting to us about Yom HaZikaron, the Day of Remembrance from Israel.